Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time. At the same time, every time. You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mad Tower Radio. The weekend is winding down for myself and Christian on this Sunday evening when we are finally decided to record. Christian, how you doing?
You know, at the beginning of the production of Mad Tower Radio last spring, we were trying to, you know, keep the curtain on, put a little bit of a character work on it. Now we start these episodes and I'm just like, work was hell. It's the weekend. Let's let's talk about the freaking aliens, bro. Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. But real quick, for those of you who don't know, Mad Tower Radio is a show where Christian and I talk about the unexplained, paranormal, monsters, ghosts, aliens, anything that is a little weird.
Absolutely. And Dan has been on a absolute tear with the alien-themed episodes lately.
Yeah, I got another one for you. But
fantastic.
I'm gonna save it for last. I'm just super happy to be recording. We're starting to move into fall. You know, it's late September, very late September, and the weather is starting to get a little nicer. And for me, living in Louisiana, that means that it is now around 50 to 60 in the morning, and it's only 90 degrees when the sun is up.
Christ.
So right now I'm pretty comfy chilling in a hoodie on my at my desk.
But when
the sun's
rat.
Up, it's hell.
Absolutely. I never want it to be hotter than like 75 ever again.
Yeah. I miss being a winter rat. And I'm all acclimated to Louisiana now, so it gets like 60 degrees and I'm like, yes, sweater weather. I'm like, this is sweet, dude. It's finally starting to get cold around here.
Oh, I freaked out when I walked out the door. I think it was 2 days ago and there was frost on the windows. And I was like, we made it.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, y'all don't even get snow, do you? You don't get frost?
Well, we had that freak storm last year, but...
Oh, yeah.
And like on a very rare case, we get frost. Like, it gets cold, you know? Like, it gets, like, low 40s, high 30s, but, like, you know, not like, once the sun comes up, that's all gone. The coldest is it'll stay, like, 45 all day.
You know, I never expected this show to get so dadly. Just to be like, fuck, dude, the weather... it's Sunday,
yeah, you know.
And I don't gotta go to work. Oh.
Times are changing.
I mean, yeah, you get into that second decade and you're like, shit, it's over for me.
Well, like I was saying, I'm gonna keep my topic for last, and you know, you gave me a little taste of what you were bringing this week. It's some project, I don't remember what it was called, but I was excited to hear about it.
Sure thing. So, for the past, it feels like 2 years, I've been on a really firm sci-fi tear.
I'm familiar with that.
Like, it feels like when you turn, you know, 24, 25, you either go hard fantasy or you go hard sci-fi, and I think I turned left onto, like, the spaceship route.
Oh, yeah. It's the better route.
Definitely. Like, not to disrespect the dudes playing Warhammer, but, like, spaceships fucking rock.
It's true.
And I had come to the realization that it's NASA's birthday this Friday.
Oh, really?
October the 1st is, I believe, NASA's creation day and birthday.
Oh, that's fun.
So... In honor, in celebration, I decided to cover a topic that occurred just a hair before NASA's creation. So we're going to play a little game with this one, if you don't mind being left out in the dark.
Sure.
I'm going to start going through this story, and I'm going to take as long as possible without actually describing what the plan was, and I'm going to see if you can put it together.
Oh, okay. So you're just... I just got to guess what the intent of this was?
Yes. And when I... Oh my gosh. When I stumbled upon this one, it was like a blessing from the Lord. It's everything I love about stupid government projects.
Oh, baby, let's go.
So this is Project A119.
Okay.
It was actually assigned to the Air Force because we did not have a NASA program yet. If it makes you feel any better, I'm not getting any of that. This was before we had a NASA program. Mm-hmm. This was 1958, which is the year it was created, but it was a little bit before that. And the Air Force was tasked with, saving face or getting a little more prestige after the USSR had been handing us our asses in the space race.
Right.
So... just to start, what is your familiarity with the early space race?
Russia beat us to space. They beat us to space with the first object. They beat us to space with the first man. And I believe they beat us to space with the first animal. So they were just fucking handing out L's to us.
Literally every single accomplishment they beat us to. They put out the first ICBM. Yeah, they had Sputnik revolving around the Earth. They put the freaking dogs, Laika and the other one, out in space.
Yep. And they had us with the first man. It was Yuri Gagarin?
Yep, Yuri, the boy.
Yep.
And
so they were whooping us.
This is right in the middle of that. This is the height of the Sputnik crisis, where United States politicians and, you know, good old waving the blue boys were feeling the disgrace of not having made any great space milestones for their own country. And this is also off the heels of the Vanguard mission failure. So
I'm not familiar with the Vanguard.
These were a series of rockets, which, as the name suggests, was going to help, like, propel our space program. It was going to be the vanguard of this wonderful new project.
Uh-huh.
And there were 11 rockets tested.
Yeah.
Only 3 of them made it out into space.
Jesus.
So it was, like, one crashed, like, 2 seconds after liftoff. Like, they all just fell apart in the fucking air, or didn't make it out, or didn't even launch. Like, just getting our asses beat in the space race.
Do you think we were so behind in the space race because we didn't really have a space race, or, like, we didn't really have a space program of our own? Like, most of our space tech, like, we got from Operation Paperclip when we, like, sweeped up all the German scientists.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it was just, like, a lack of resource allocation.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of feeling that exact same thing, you know, contemporaneously. People just don't give a shit about space, and it's not getting the resources it needs to thrive.
Well, yeah, because there's not a communist country trying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring some competition back to space.
I mean, if you know, I think India's getting pretty up there in space technology, or, you know, Japan's also doing some work. Maybe it'll light a fire under someone.
Good for them.
And in the midst of this sort of self-inflicted embarrassment, the first thing we sort of thought to do was to really kick our asses into gear. So we developed NASA. We developed DARPA. Have you heard of this one?
I've not heard of DARPA.
To tell you the truth, the first time I heard of DARPA was in Metal Gear Solid. They talk about it a lot.
Sounds like something where they'd talk about DARPA.
DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. It's like the scary Black Ops defense missions thing.
I see. Were they were founded alongside NASA?
58, so like within the same year.
I see. Is it still operational today?
I think they do DARPA. Yeah, I still think they're doing shit like that.
But
all of these pushes are happening at the same time. It's the 1958, like, summer, where we're really starting to feel the heat, and we decide that we need to put something up into space.
Yeah.
So, the only reason that we know about Project A-119 is a sort of whistleblower event. The man who led the project, Leonard Riefel, talked about it in like 2000 after
really? So this is pretty recently this was come out to the public.
I had tried my damnedest to like read old newspapers and get as much information as I could at the time, but the bastards at newspaper.com wanted my credit card.
Fuck them.
Yeah, absolutely fuck them. So I think there was like hints and like understandings in the 60s of what happened here, but in the 50s, absolutely not. And it wasn't, I think, as widely publicized until the Freedom of Information Act request, and then this guy came out and was like, yeah, okay, I'll tell you what we did back in the day.
It's crazy to think how hard it is to find information. Not only, like, before the internet, but, like, before the modern internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you try to, like, even digging back as, quote-unquote, recent as, like, 2005 on the internet, it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
There's a weird, like, gap, I think, in computer information where it's, like, people were archiving shit from, like, the 70s and the 80s, like, people had the wherewithal to do that, but, like, 2005-ish, like, it's just, like, a blind spot.
Yeah, early 2000s is weird. You gotta do a lot of work if you want to find something old on the internet.
I mean, Christ, I just want to play Flash games at work, and that's, like, fucking coding the ISS these days. Oh, my God.
Anyway, please continue.
Anyway, this guy, Leonard, he would eventually go to work on the Apollo mission.
Okay.
He would write a couple of sci-fi novels.
Okay.
And he would consult in Belarus and the Ukraine in the post-Chernobyl cleanup.
Oh.
Yes, he was brought on to sort of do a little bit of work with that after, you know, the events of Chernobyl.
While still being employed by the U.S. government?
I think he was it was probably like an on-the-side thing. I assume he still had some connection with the United States and NASA.
Yeah.
Now, the team he had assembled consisted of Enrico Fermi. Have you ever heard of that name?
I've heard of the Fermi paradox.
That is him. The Enrico Fermi.
That's the Fermi?
Yep. He was a pioneer in the first nuclear reactors. Fermi was.
Okay.
He also worked with a young Carl Sagan.
Ooh,
on
that's
this project. Yeah. And leftover staff from Paperclip.
Oh, we love Paperclip. Well, we love when Paperclip is brought up.
It surprisingly has its fingers in a lot of tricks around here in the sort of things that we like to look into.
Hey, Paperclip gets brought up so often, and like a quick little rundown of Paperclip for those of you that aren't in the know. After World War II, Operation Paperclip was basically an initiative where the U.S. went up to super big war criminals and some people who weren't super big war criminals and were like, hey, you know, it's this or the Nuremberg trials. Come live in the U.S. and work for the U.S. government as a scientist.
Yep. They assist us in our needs so you're not assisting the Soviets.
Yeah, because the Soviets are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know, just like the wall down Germany. We fucking divided up the German scientists.
Yeah, so we took them.
Like picking teams for kickball.
And so that's where I'm going to put the first the first checkpoint here. Based on everything that I've told you, do you have any inclination about what could be going on in Project A-119?
Is this all the information I get without you telling me? I just don't want to make my guess without hearing everything first.
I could probably edge a little more, but is there anything that's sort of anything that's coming to mind from what I've said so far?
I don't know.
Okay.
Not really, no. I mean, like, it could be anything.
So, this mission's goal, first and foremost, was to be a morale boost. Like, scientific advancement was in the cards, but it was definitely meant to be a big, flashy win for the United States.
For the people, or, like, for, like, the staff of, like, NASA so that they could continue working?
I believe, you know, for the people in general. Just be like, look at the might of our nation, that we could do this amazing thing.
Wow. I don't know.
It was meant to be a an event that would be visible from the Earth with a naked eye.
I'm going to say they were working on like a rocket that would like draw the United States flag in space.
That kicks ass. Oh my God, that would rock.
That's my final guess.
It's, you know, this is so fun to me because there's going to be a cliff we're going to have to jump off together. And I'm glad that you're staying pretty grounded. You know, so you're staying pretty tame with some of the things that the United States would do.
Oh, okay. So it sounded like it's out there.
It's a little far out. It has to do with geological research. They believe this test would help study on the side.
I see.
And it was before a number of treaties in the 60s that inhibited the amount of exotic testing that you could do in the atmosphere and above the Earth.
Oh man, I'm kind of, this is kind of sounding like going into super weapon territory.
You would be right to lean it into that direction.
Is this going to be like the rods from God?
It's kind of like the rods from God, but you see, the target of this mission is not the Earth, if that helps.
What, are they going to carve Nixon's face in the moon?
This is good old Dwight. This is Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, man.
You know, people think of Dwight as like a good, somewhat level-headed fella.
Yeah.
But,
they were going to blast the moon with something, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
All right, lay it on me.
This was a mission to test the viability and the outcome of a nuclear explosion on the moon.
Oh. What do you mean the viability? What scientific yield do we get from nuking the moon?
Now, we have a less dramatic satellite that does something very similar today.
Uh-huh.
It is the L-Cross satellite, and it goes up to the moon. It throws some debris or something, I believe, at the moon, and all the, like, dust and shit that kicks up, it scans all that and gets a really good reading of, like, the geological makeup of the moon.
Okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But the plan was to drop, you know, a tasteful nuclear bomb. It was going to be about 1/9 the size of the Hiroshima bomb.
Why stop there? If you're going to nuke the moon, why not make it like fucking crazy?
Well, all they wanted was to be able to, you know, kick up a bunch of dust so much that you could see it from the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And that you could get some kind of like something like we tried to do in the 2000s of like some geological understanding of the crater that we make and the dust that gets kicked up.
Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense, yeah. Like I said, I don't know shit about science, but nuking the moon sounds stupid, but when you put it like that, I guess it makes sense.
To me, it absolutely seems stupid. It seems like a dick-wagging contest where the U.S. was like,
fine. I mean, it is. Fine. That's what the space race was.
There were a number of people. There was a pretty allotted nuclear historian at the time who said, yeah, that would be like the grossest misuse of nuclear energy that I could think of. And it would like poison the moon so that like we would never get Neil Armstrong. He didn't say that because it's the fucking 50s. But we would never get the Apollo missions or anyone landing on the moon if we just blew it the fuck up.
Yeah, that's true.
But
because, I mean, like, the same side of the moon faces us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So if we nuke, like if we want to make a big display out of it and nuke it, like that's just taking away space that we have to work with on the moon.
And I don't know how good it is for the people to like look up at the stars and see that scar we left on the moon. And like, yeah, that was us. Look at big, strong me.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
I mean,
that'd be so stupid.
I would be more ashamed than I already am. Yeah.
There's the nuclear crater that we put on the moon in the 50s.
Yeah. What was that for? To look cool.
That's so stupid.
But it's exactly what they wanted. They wanted like some kind of show of strength in this moment. And there was, I've read a lot of the underlying document of it. It's a pretty big chunk of paper, but they had concluded that it wasn't going to leave any radiation on the moon. It wasn't going to like poison it. They would still leave it open to colonization and exploration later.
Colonization?
They can always dream, you know.
I mean, I guess living on the moon would be better than like the more likely future we live in of people inventing projectors big enough to make the moon like advertising space.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that timeline is prevented from that hellscape. Shit.
So, what was the reason that it failed? Why didn't they go through with it?
They found it to be kind of unviable. Like, they seemed like a pain in the ass to bring a nuclear bomb all the way out to the moon.
Did they have some kind of wacky delivering method, or were they just going to shoot an ICBM at it?
They were just going to send a rocket up there. And as we talked about earlier, they were kind of having problems with that at the time.
Yeah.
And, like, could you imagine the botched version of this project where it fucking explodes in the atmosphere above California?
Oh, yeah.
And it nuclear fallout rains over the entire Western Hemisphere?
You know, probably a good idea that they canceled it then.
They pretty much landed on it's a cool idea, but maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should like be a little more discreet and a little more tasteful.
So are there any like whack ass conspiracy theories behind it where it's like they were actually trying to like defeat the Anunnaki who were hiding out on the moon at the time?
God, I wish. I looked around and there's a couple of like sassy newspaper articles that I couldn't read the stories to where they're like, Johnny, we're gonna bomb the moon. But nothing like the aliens are up there or anything like that.
Oh, I bet you if you dig far enough, you can find it.
There was one little antecedent that I thought was pretty fun is like the first chance that we had to like learn about this project was a slip up from Carl Sagan. He kind of accidentally let it out.
Mm-hmm.
He was writing a grant, I believe, or like a scholarship from a university to get money for some other research. And they see that he submits this paper with the title of Possible Contributions of Lunar Nuclear Weapons Detonations to the Solution of Some Problems in Planetary Astronomy.
Oh.
And they read that title and they're like, what the fuck is this? Wait, what? Excuse me?
Like, that's pretty funny.
Like, dude just...
Oh. Mm-hmm. So he just wrote about it, and people are like, what do you mean, nuclear weapons on the moon?
Yeah, he kind of like sent that out to like fluff his application process, and people were like, can you come again with that? That moon bomb thing?
So they were just gonna nuke the moon.
Yes. That was the only thing they could think of in 1958.
The world's most expensive fireworks show.
And there's honestly a lot of room for conspiracy theories, because when the Freedom of Information Act requests started to come out and we actually started digging into this thing, it came out that a ton of supplementary documents related to this project were destroyed in the 80s, and that there's a lot we don't actually have access to. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. I love destroyed documents.
I hate it. I hate when the Freedom of Information comes back and they're like, we kind of iced that envelope, sir.
That's fucking hilarious.
So, like, I'm thinking, what's good old Ronald Reagan trying to cover up to destroy those documents in the 80s that slipped through Nixon, that slipped through, you know, Kennedy, Johnson?
Oh, probably because fucking Ronald Reagan was the first goddamn lizard in office.
He was like, y'all think you're going to bomb my homeland? My people's house?
He's like, destroy all that lizard shit. That's all. That's a farce.
That's nothing to see here, folks.
We need to worry about the war on drugs and disarming the American public.
So, it was whack-ass early space subjects and tests like this that led to things like the Partial Nuclear Ban Treaty, the 1963 agreement that we would just stop blowing nuclear bombs into the atmosphere.
Yeah, probably a good initiative, you know?
Like,
I don't want to live in the world where I'm, like, looking up at the stars and that's not a star, that is actually the fucking rod from God ready to deliver death at a fucking moment's notice.
I saw it was haunting, it was aggravating, it was like heartbreaking photo of the nuclear bomb tests they were doing in the Pacific, in the atmosphere, in the early 60s, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It's this photo of someone on the Hawaiian island just looking out over the ocean, and it looks like hell out there.
Yeah, they used to test them shit so close to civilization, too.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, kids, let's go outside. Watch the nuclear bomb test. Like, how are you not dead, bro?
I mean, have you ever seen the training video of in the 50s when they were still thinking about, you know, cleaning up Korea the fast way? And it's this test they did in, like, Nevada where they dropped the nuke, and then they had soldiers, like, running in, like, after.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Like, the shock and awe nuclear move.
Yeah, they're like, bro, just run into the cloud, bro,
just,
it's fine.
Just get right in there, the enemy's not gonna know what hit them, you've got free reign.
There's no enemy. Like, that. Like, how did they not know that, like, there's no enemy once you drop the nuke?
I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. And in this project only goes to show, they're going fast and loose. I think it's like a 1 in 100 million miracle we didn't actually blow ourselves to shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's a 1 in 100 miracle that, like, we're all just living in this fucking, like,
yeah,
no, like, it's a miracle the world hasn't been ravaged by nuclear war already.
And the part of that is the continuing growth of these nuclear test ban treaties. Like I said, the atmosphere one happened in 63. 67, we got the outer nuclear test ban treaty, where you can't even blow a nuke in space anymore.
Uh-huh.
And then 1996, good old Bobby C. Billy Clinton himself, the comprehensive nuclear test ban treaty. It can't be over water, underwater, underground, on like the Earth surface in space or in the air. No more testing, no more nukes for fun.
Yeah. And that sounds all well and good.
Absolutely.
But to me, that sounds like this treaty is getting slimmer and slimmer to where it's like, yeah, you can only test in this uninhabited patch of desert. Oh, you guys don't have those? Yeah, we test in Nevada every day. Sorry. I mean, you already signed the treaty.
It truly is just a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
But to even, like, put that public facing, you know, maybe we shouldn't just be blowing nukes up over the Pacific, and maybe we shouldn't, you know, putting them underground.
Yeah. Gotta love the Cold War.
Do you? Do you love the Cold War?
No. I mean, it's interesting.
It's just got me thinking. Like, I've read two fairly dire sci-fi series recently, the Asimov's Foundation things and Adrian Tchaikovsky's stuff, and both of them have a nuclear-ravaged Earth that people just had to leave.
Oh, yeah. Cold War-era sci-fi is very, very doomer.
Just miserable. And
yeah, because, I mean, if I lived back then, I would be like, fuck, dude, this is happening soon.
Like, and I'm trying to imagine a world where we did go through with the project. Like, if you had that daily reminder that we're fast and loose with these hell weapons from the gods.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
That world is Fallout, like the video game, but you are not any of the people that made it into the wasteland after the nuke. You're like the people that died like 5 seconds after they all dropped.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That's the world after nuclear war.
No one's like the hero. No one's like the cool scavenger.
No, you're just dead. You're a vaporized skeleton.
Or you get, you know, the radiation sickness.
Did you... You watched Terminator 2, right?
To tell you the truth, I've not seen a single piece of Terminator media.
Oh, dude.
Not a one.
There is this haunting scene in Terminator 2 where Skynet, like, Sarah Connor has a dream where, like, Skynet wins and they fucking drop the nuke. And, like, she's just holding onto a fence and gets, like, vaporized into a skeleton. And I remember watching that when I was a kid, and I was just like, what the fuck am I watching right now?
I feel like I've seen the skeleton. I think that rings a bell to me.
It was haunting to me as a kid.
Does not Emilia Clarke play Connors now?
Dude, I don't know. There's no good Terminator after Terminator 2.
Okay, noted.
But yeah, like, even then, in the fucking, like, I don't know, I was a fucking kid, and I still felt like a little bit of, like, I guess, Cold War fucking fear. And I'm just like, I lived in fear of nuclear bombs. Like, that happened, and I didn't really know what was happening in the movie, but I was like, Mom, what? Why was there that giant explosion? She's like, that's a nuclear bomb.
That's a nuclear bomb.
I'm like, what? Did that gift work for you?
I see a bunch of kids playing at a swing set, not moving.
All right, give me 1 second.
Cool.
Because I really think this is something that you got to see. It is absolutely, absolutely wild that, like, my mom let me watch this as a kid.
And
I believe you've never seen Terminator.
No, I mean, I just thought it was about some shitty robot or something. It travels through time or something. Is that what
I mean? If you're into the whole, if you're into, like, Asimov sci-fi robots and shit, I think you'd like Terminator.
People talk a lot of sugar on it. Like, I was on a set 2 weekends ago, and these dudes would not shut up about something about how, like, the Terminator's really bad at sneaking, really bad at stealthing or something.
Yeah.
That he, like, I don't know. So it's definitely in people's minds. It never got to me.
Oh, it's a good one.
But for Project A119, that's pretty much all I got for it. I just wanted to raise, you know, a little bit of a moment to recognize the absolute pride and horribleness that, you know, our government has thought about crossing.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty fucking dumb. Like, but I'm always happy to see a secret project come to light. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and especially for, you know, us who blessedly grown up in the quote-unquote post-Cold War.
Yeah.
Oh my sure. God, I'm watching this city explode.
Yeah, isn't that nuts though?
That sucks. Is that, are those models? Or is that like a real, oh, I got to the fence. Oh my God.
That scene terrorized me as a kid.
Oh shit. That's the girl, Connor?
Yeah, that's Sarah Connor.
Oh my God, that was cool. No, I'm glad.
Yeah, that's a dream she had.
That rocked.
I know.
Okay, that's a good enough button for me. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's too scary.
Movie kicks ass, dude.
Oh. So.
But, yeah. I mean, that was interesting. A little tame, but yeah. Still great to see what egregious misuses of fucking nuclear power, to quote that one guy, we thought about doing.
And by all means, let me know what the aliens thought about this. Were they parked behind the moon, just like with the phaser beams ready to rip?
Oh yeah. So this is definitely like all fucking. This is all part of the reasons that we're like not gonna get contacted. You know.
Hmm.
Let me pull up my notes here. So basically today we're going to be talking about the Andromedan aliens.
Okay. Right? From the Andromeda Galaxy?
Yes. Well, it's up in the air. I don't know if they're from the Andromeda Galaxy or if they're from the Andromeda constellation.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Andromeda system or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is
because it's very, very unclear. So I'm going to be talking a lot about the works of this guy today. His name is Alex Collier, right?
Okay.
And he pretty much published his works, but I can't find any context for them, right? So he has this big, huge, long paper that comes from this website called the Exopolitical Journal. And this was published in... This was transcribed by Richard Tritowski in July 2010.
Ooh.
And it just says that, you know, Alex was a... He was a human. He was a contactee. And he contacted the... extraterrestrials from the constellation of Andromeda. He was a helicopter pilot in the U.S. Army, and all his accounts come from like 80s, 90s. So it's crazy that this ended up on the internet, because I think this is just the ramblings of a madman.
That sounds exciting. Okay.
So you can find this whole paper. I'll link it to you here. But it's actually really interesting, you know? It's not like just fucking whack job takes about aliens, but he talks very much collected, right? But let me get into the descriptors of the Andromedans first that he kind of gives us, right? They are blue. They're the big blue guys. You know, they're bald, like human-like facial features, kind of look like the Asarians from fucking Mass Effect, right?
Love that.
It's funny because I thought I was getting pranked because I'm on a website right now called aliens.fandom.com, right? And it's like a wiki. And so under the general information, it tells you about their, like, what they look like and all that shit. And then it says, universe, real. It's like, no, these are real life aliens. I'm like, huh?
Okay, so they're really committing to this. You said this guy was a contactee?
Yes. So supposedly they visited Florida sometime in fucking 1954.
Why, dude?
There's not a lot of sightings, not a lot of crazy conspiracies, but just pretty much a lot of this is this Alec guy, his experience with being a contactee. So the Andromedans are part of a galactic council of some sort.
Sure. Okay.
Some people call it the Galactic Federations. Other people call it the Andromedan Council. Right? And they are the leaders of this council. And they are noted in the council for having a mastery.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Now, the title of his paper is The Andromedans and Mentoring Humanity. And he goes off in this thing about how, he's privy to the inner workings of these intergalactic politics. And apparently they're talking about Earth a lot, right? The Andromedans told him that there's been no mass galactic contact with Earth yet for a number of reasons. First one being that not all extraterrestrials have Earth's best interest at heart. He says that they'll do things like give gifts to us, ask for favors that they know we can't return, and then when we can't return those favors, they'll turn on us, right?
Okay.
And then it also says that they've been studying us for a while and they know the religions of Earth, and that they will attempt to impersonate the religions of Earth in an attempt to get us to worship them.
That one makes sense to me. I'm on board.
Yeah. And so apparently the Andromedans have been bringing it up to the rest of the council about putting Earth in a mentorship status.
Hell yeah. Junior members of the Galactic Federation.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. He also talks about how... So after his paper, there was an interview, and there's a lot more context in the fucking interview. And he talks about the Schumann residence, actually, that you brought up for the Tatarian Empire.
Oh, yeah.
He says that we have to do something in order to, move us up in, a category of civilization. It says, right now that we're, a density 3 civilization.
All right. Right?
And that we need to become at least a density 4 before mass contact. And, you know, examples of getting to a density 4, he cites as forming the world government. He cites it as starting the new world order, having world peace, or tuning into the Schumann resonance.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you give a quick rundown on the Schumann resonance?
The Schumann resonance was an observation that the Earth seems to be emitting some kind of pulse or some kind of frequency, an energy that can be tapped into. It operates at a very specific observable wavelength, and some believe that the accumulation of this sort of Earth energy has some kind of power behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And he just goes on and on. He says that he's not calling for people to abandon religion, but he's saying that since religion is so prominent in our society that they're afraid to make contact because they don't want to be worshipped.
This dude seems wise beyond his alien years.
It's fucking crazy. These interviews are from 96, bro.
It seems he's right.
Poor guy's gonna have his heart broken. He says that he has a very, very good feeling that we will reach density 4 no later than 2003.
Aw, piss.
Yeah, poor guy.
Is he alive still?
I have no idea, because when I look him up, this guy isn't famous.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, he it seems like he dropped his manifesto and, you know, dipped, just waiting for it to come.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he's fucking crazy. This is the Andromedan Paradigm, like, is what this collection of papers is called.
Imagine me, like, in grade school, drinking my fucking juice box, and the Andromedans come down and they're like, bet, you're in. Here's your badge. You know, welcome to the Federation.
Exactly. Exactly. He goes, like, he just lists a whole bunch of reasons why we can't. Oh, apparently the Greys have it out for us. Yeah. So, like, they're like, testing the waters and, like, communicating with select people. And I guess they're just sitting there praying to whatever they believe in, that we get better, because they don't want to see Earth get fucked.
Okay. That's,
you know,
that's nice.
It's crazy that this is, like, this glance into this guy's fucking... I'm not gonna speak ill of this man, and I don't know if he's actually talking to the Andromedans, but he's very in the know on extraterrestrial politics.
I'm really into the detail and, like, the all the, like, interlocking, like, factions. Like, he's writing a really sick book.
Yeah. I don't know if he's, like, a simp for Japan or something.
What?
But he claims that Japan, like, that the rest of the world needs to become like Japan if we want to be contacted.
Come on, bro.
Because they have a better, like, they have a better government. They're very, like, Japan oriented, and they, like, take care of their people. I don't fucking know, man.
I don't mean to laugh at this guy, but he sounds like a Dougie Mac simp.
It's really weird.
Oh my god.
But here's another one, right? So, you know how I mentioned the mentorship of Earth?
Yeah.
Apparently that means, like, seeding Earth with fucking some extraterrestrials to observe and fucking, I guess, just make sure the planet doesn't fucking blow itself up. Right? And, he has this weird excerpt. I'm just going to read straight from his paper, right? They're extremely encouraged, so much so that the Andromedan Council has begun discussing mentorship of Earth. And as of right now, there are four races who already signed up, and genetically, they are connected to the Earth. Now, genetically connected to the Earth means that they have been here in the past. They have probably been some of the gods that have been worshipped, who have left offspring, and have created civilizations here. And we're the remnants. And we're the remnants of those civilizations. So we already have so many different races. There's a lot more to this. This makes it sound like humanity is some sort of, like, bastard alien race that just, like, survived through the ages, and now we're, like, somebody's problem now that we're almost a galactic civilization.
Like, we've already been groomed up to this position.
Yeah. It's
interesting.
Weird.
Does he give any more, like, clear examples of previous meddling, or is it some of that vague, like, oh, they might have been gods, it might have been this?
I don't know. He doesn't go that far into the history of the Galactic Federation and when it became against the rules to fuck around with the natives.
Okay.
You know? So I have no idea, but, like, this dude is just... he's on some shit. So here's one from his interview. Let me just read you the interview. Okay. The interviewer's name is Val. Val says, "You noted one time that there were about 1,500 benevolent extraterrestrials on Earth that were relatively indistinguishable from ordinary humans, and that you were at one time not privy to their purpose for being here. Have you discovered more relative to this?" Alex goes, "Well, in truth, I know exactly why they're here, but I've been told to not really talk about it. I'll tell you that the original number of 1,500 in 1987 is now down to 1,231, and I understand that in the next 3 months, another 97 will leave." Val goes, "Then I guess the number will just decrease steadily until August 2003. That's when he thought we were going to go, you know, Cat 4 and fucking you know, be part of the Federation.
You're going to level up then.
Yeah. He says, yeah. Yeah, by that time, the last bunch of them will leave. Val goes, so what can I get out of all this is that these alien humanoids are intelligence operatives who monitor the state of affairs on Earth? He goes, your perception is very accurate, though I feel like I have broken a promise. No, if I already have the logic to figure things out, then there is no word broken. Blah, 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 blah. I want to get to the part. Yes, here it is. Right? Great. In the last interview, you stated that the Greys captured and boxed human souls, and that Morinay did not want to answer questions of what happens to these souls. Has Morinay changed his mind about that interview yet?
He's name-dropping them?
I guess he's talking to named Andromedans, Morinay.
Girl, Morinay, they've got our souls.
I know. I guess the fucking Greys are, like, hiding out on Phobos and, like... they really want to fuck with us, and the Andromedans are, like, campaigning in the fucking Galactic Alliance that Earth does not need to be fucked with. They're, like, trying really hard to protect us.
What did we do to draw the gray ire in this situation?
I have no idea, bro.
Maybe, like, we took one of their boys in Roswell, and they're like, oh, no, they're not making it to the Galactic Federation now.
I guess. It's absolutely insane, man.
He said that they boxed our souls?
Yeah. And they're hiding out on Phobos.
Is that a Jupiter moon?
It is a Mars moon.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's uncomfortably close. All right.
Yeah, dude. I mean, just how are you feeling about all this?
It's so juicy. Like, every sentence has, like, 20 things you can jump onto. And, I mean, he knows this one Andromedan by name. They're obviously close.
Yeah.
And
it's fucking crazy. Here's the interview. I'll link that to you as well.
Did he go into any detail about, like, why he is this ambassador, or why he's privy to this knowledge?
No. So he actually is a fuckwit about it. He says in the beginning, here we go. What I don't want to do today is go into a lot of background. There's more than enough information out there.
You coward.
Okay, jackass.
Come on.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, okay, I have it confirmed that they are from the constellation of Andromeda.
The Federation and the people?
Huh?
The Federation and, like, all this operation's coming from the Andromeda constellation?
No, I think just the Andromedas are in the Andromeda...
Sweet.
...galaxy. That's why they're the Andromedans.
Good for them. I hope
but they... I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to explore this pantheon some more. Maybe we're going to talk about the Greys and see why the fuck they're boxing up human souls.
That did so much to open up, like, the cosmology. That was such a loaded sentence.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean he boxes our souls? What does he do with them?
Yeah, there's, like, the Nords. There's, like, lizard aliens. There's the Greys, the Andromedans. It's all sorts of wacky shit, man.
And he had made it implied that the Andromedans were, like, the leaders, you said?
Yeah, because they are... He even talks about how the Andromedans also have, like, mastery over time.
Oh no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
They sounded more and more like mind flayers.
It's absolutely insane. Like, there's a subset under here in the interview called Planetary Update, where he's talking about the reptilians. So here he goes. Val, the interviewer, she says, perhaps it would be best to start with a general update from you, both on the planetary side and the extraplanetary side. He goes, well, let's see. A planetary update, huh? There are more reptilians than there were before. There are approximately 20 of the Royal Draconian line on the planet at this time.
and this was in the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, Ronald was still alive.
So. Now, he doesn't call them the Anunnaki, so he's not in with David Icke. He refers to these guys as the Siakars. C-I-A-K-A-R-S.
Okay, so a different breed of lizard folk?
Yes. And it's crazy, man. And then he goes, oh yeah, and on a galactic level, several humanoid colonies in the Hercules cluster have been admitted to the Andromedan Council.
Oh, they get in? Who the hell are they?
Dude, I don't know. He talks about Ebola, he talks about HIV, it's fucking insane.
This fits almost perfectly.
She goes, it's no secret that all the viral plague outbreaks have always been organisms that are involved with known government biowarfare programs.
Come on.
And he goes, yes, the interesting thing about the Ebola virus is that there is an extraterrestrial gene that has been added to it.
You're starting to lose me, guy.
So the interviewer, I think she's an alien lover too. I think she's sold.
I feel like you kind of have to be.
There's another subsection called More on the Draconian Activities with Human Children.
Hmm.
Referring back to some of the things you said in the ETs and Global Connection, you noted that there were some 1,800 reptilians inside the Earth that have been responsible for some 37,000 human children disappearing.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot better when he was just telling me about cool, like, intergalactic politics, but when he starts applying it to this stuff,
starts talking about how the reptilians use, like, fucking, they kidnap these children and eat them, and then they drain the fluids from their brain because they use child brain juice as, like, a drug.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, dude.
He's laying the foundation for, you know, the brain worms that we have today.
He mentions the Syrians, not S-Y-R-I-A-N, S-I as in Sirius, the constellation.
Are they cool people? Are they cool cats?
I don't know, man.
how much time did you like dig through? Okay.
I stick to the Andromedan stuff, you know?
Surely, yeah. They seem to be, you know, the center point from what I've heard so far.
It's insane.
How did you stumble onto this one, this whole like galactic overview guy?
Okay, so I found this stupid meme and it was like a grid of all these like wacky aliens, and then it goes like which one you pass into boof to. And I just googled the first one on the grid and it was the Andromedans. And somehow I wound up finding our man here, Alex Collier.
Sometimes the topics come from the most unlikely places. Sometimes they just fall into your lap.
Yeah. Yeah, this fell right into my lap and I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah, so after, you know, a week's worth of digging, would you pass him the boof?
I mean, the Andromedans seem pretty chill. I mean, the reptilians are drinking brain juice. The greys are fucking harvesting human souls. So, I mean, seems like the Andromedans are the only ones sticking up for us here.
And looking at their roadmap, do you think in your lifetime we're heading towards a Cat 4 ascendancy?
Not in my lifetime.
You don't think we'll find world peace or the Schumann residence or the New World Order?
The only thing that I could possibly see in my lifetime, and I mean like a super big stretch, is maybe world government.
I feel like I hate
that. But that's about it.
Yeah, no thanks.
I mean, I hate that too. You know, I hate that. I hate that concept. I mean, maybe if we move towards more world cooperation,
Yeah, sure.
Instead of, like, the New World Order, then sure. But then I also think about the horrors of my lifespan being artificially extended through technology and medicine.
The horrors? That's the dream.
Well, that's the dream because I want to be alive to witness the horrors. You know?
I got some bad news to tell you about the horrors of this planet and how close they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If not in my lifetime, I think very shortly after my lifetime is when we'll start getting, like, artificially extended lifespans and, like, artificial immortality.
I read somewhere that the first person who's going to live to be 1,000 is already alive today.
Oh, let's fucking go, dude.
That, like, the advancement of medication's ability to extend someone's life is going to be exponential in our lifetime.
Yeah. Let's fucking go, dude.
You could put it on the record, like, play this to my doctor in 2065. You keep me pumping, whatever it takes, plug me into that computer. I want that.
Do you hope that you gain your immortality through, like, them putting your consciousness into a new body, or, like, medicinally your life is being extended in your original body?
I feel like living on as a husk with, like, a tank doing my breathing and a little Roomba doing my kidney filtration sounds like shit. I just want you to take my goods out of my brain, stick it in a hard drive, like, flash drive me up.
Yeah, like, I don't want, like, some crazy ass cyber body where I can feel thanks. Everything. Like, you can stick me in a fucking R2-D2 and I'll be happy.
Absolutely. Put me into the, like, the can opener bot. I don't give a shit. Like, the flesh is weak. My body's a weak little thing. I'm allergic to cats. It's not worth fighting on this little meat bag for the rest of eternity.
It's true.
Like, no. And I gotta get there when the Anunnaki are calling, or the Andromedans.
Make me an Xbox 720 controller. I'll be happy with that. Well, we've gotten very, very far off topic, you know. But, you know, just let it ride, and I think this is a good stopping point for the Andromedans and nuclear war and stupid space projects, and I'm gonna keep continuing the aliens next week. Is there any specific alien race that stuck out to you that you'd like to hear about, Christian?
I, in particular, kind of want to know what's up with the Greys. They seem to be pretty involved. They seem to be a pretty, like, dynamic part of the story.
That's what I was thinking, too. I started with the nice guys, you know, the Andromedans, the big wholesome blue guys who are trying to bring us into the Galactic Federation. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's time to talk about, you know, our not-so-good friends in the galaxy.
I think this is the exciting turn I need, yeah.
And I think I'm ready to just put a pin in it with that and get cranking on this next episode and talk about the Greys.
Absolutely. I kind of fell off it when you were like, yeah, I want to be an Xbox controller.
Yeah, it's a point where we derail the show and I'm just like, all right, we got to let's get out of here. Okay. There's no coming back from Xbox controller.
The self-awareness is important. But I would also like to see, hey, folks listening out there, if you had any kind of cool, mysterious, maybe a haunting experience in your life that you would like to share with us, because if so, we have a wide variety of channels that you can reach out to us. We would love to hear some of these things that have happened to you, or some things that you just can't quite explain. So, Dan, you want to hit them with the socials?
Yes, everybody, that is right. If you want to get in contact with us, it's super easy. Email us, supermadtower at Mad Tower Radio. Twitter us at Mad Tower Radio. Or if you have my personal phone number, just shoot me a text.
Yeah.
Or if you on the street, stop me. Scream into my face like a madman.
If you're in the woods and something's going down, I want you to hit that Snapchat button and send me that video.
Absolutely.
Please.
And as always, don't forget to subscribe, like, add us to your favorites. I don't know what the kids do on fucking Spotify, but we're also on Spotify. And yeah, this has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.